Hello everyone and welcome to the Ubunifu podcast. Hey podcast. I am your host, Washera Thande, and today I have a very special guest. This person is a very talented guitarist who plays with one of the best bands in the country. He is a music director, events coordinator, entrepreneur, and an all-round creative. And his name is none other than Matthew Owegi. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Shera. Well, how do you want me to call you? Because that's how I... No,
Shera is fine. Shera is fine. It's so funny because like not that many people here call me Shera. Mm-hmm. Everybody calls me Washera. First of all, they call me Washera, but they pronounce it even the wrong way. So it's nice. It's refreshing to hear someone call me Shera.
Ah, good. Yeah. Hi.
Hi. How's everything? How are you doing?
Today I'm well. It's a bit cold and a bit rainy in Nairobi right now. But this is my kind of weather. But I'm well. I'm healthy. Oh, I'm eating well. That's good. You know, yeah. I'm good. How are you?
Me, I'm all right. It's also cold here, but when is it never cold in England, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but I'm also well. Even like you, I am eating well, which is good.
That's good.
I am taking care of myself. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's just an honor to have you on this podcast. Thank you so much for availing yourself.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Right. Okay. So for everyone, the reason why I have Matthew today is because of how he's multifaceted, the different ways and different things that he's done. With the conversations I've had with him, I'm telling you, this guy just blew me away. So yeah, we're here to discuss a bit of that. And Matthew, would you like to tell us who you are, what you do, and yeah, the type of work that you do?
Okay. So as you've heard, my name is Matt Owegi. And what do I do? I do my best, really. With every little thing that I'm able to do here and there, but primarily my heart is for music. I enjoy making music, I enjoy playing music, I enjoy having conversations about music and creativity, and I think today I'm here in that capacity to represent my creative self with the world. Yeah, so basically the nutshell, that is who I am today. Yes, I might be someone else tomorrow. You know,
Ebu, we are gonna quote that. I am today, Matthew Owegi.
That's deep if you think about it.
It's true. If you think about it, it is very deep. I agree with that. Nice and simple and to the point. Okay, that's really good. So one of the things I like about you, especially like how you've said I am today, is there's a conversation we had sometime last year in December. And there's just the concept, like your overall philosophy is like literally carpe diem, let's seize the day. Let's make the most of what we have now. And I feel like that's so rare to see nowadays, especially like, especially like everybody who gets caught up in like the hustle and bustle of life. You're trying to plan for the future. You're trying to save. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. Talking to you, you are like, me, I'm easy. Whatever comes, comes. I'm going to live today.
I mean, if you think about it, you know, I think for me, the thing that I always say, the only thing that makes sense in the world right now is the presence of a higher power, the presence of God, because everything else doesn't make sense. And if everything else doesn't make sense, why do we try and make sense out of things that are not yet here, you know?
Yeah.
So we have I am rich today, you know, I can eat whatever I want to eat today, I can do whatever I want to do today, and that's all that matters. Who said I'll be here tomorrow, you know? I want in the unfortunate event that I die today, that tomorrow, guys will be like, yo, this guy had fun yesterday, or like he lived
his
fullest.
He had fun every single day of his life.
Of course, you know, of course, because I mean, problems will always be there, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
But I'd rather be having fun dealing with problems than not having fun dealing with problems. So yeah, a day at a time, man. A day at a time.
Mumeskia, have you heard? He's given us nutshells of wisdom. Next thing you know, he'll be there with Andevu with white hair rubbing his
growing
wisdom with everyone. man. Okay, that's really cool. So now that you've said that you're a creative, I know your focus primarily is music. You're a guitarist. So my next question is, how did you get into music? How did you get into expressing yourself creatively through music?
I was introduced to music twice in my life. I usually say that when I sit down and I look at my past. So my mom sang in the choir for the longest. I think like when she was pregnant with me, she was still singing in the choir. And I remember growing up, we didn't really, really have like a lot of help. So like all choir practices and all those things, I used to go with my mom. And in the process,
running around.
Yeah. Imagine like you're in a room full of like adults and then there's just this one, because I was a very, very quiet child. I was very obedient and whatnot. So I would sit through choir practices. My mom would sing and would go home. And subconsciously, I think the interest of music started there. So if you know how choirs in Kenya work, most of them have two instruments or three instruments, which is like the congas, kayamba, shakers, or just, like a bunch of percussions that are primarily traditional. So I was very interested with the kayamba. So the kayamba was my first ever instrument, because I was just like, what's that noise inside this thing? And it seems to be making people move, you know? So I was very, very interested like in
that. Yeah, it does like the beat that causes people to dance, yeah.
Exactly, you know, it's the instrument that in Africa, it's a shaker, like in a, just a different shape that primarily makes you shake, you know?
Shake. And
you know? So yeah, so kayamba was my first instrument and that was my first introduction with music. The second and now the introduction to music that actually changed my life was like most of us who are playing instruments, we started out in church. And before I started playing in church, I used to take my cousins and my friends and whatnot. I'd accompany them. So I'd probably do like lights, because I'd never, ever, ever play anything at the time. And my cousins and my friends all used to play instruments and whatnot. And I always thought, I was like, damn, you guys look so cool. One day. So it so happened that one time I sat on the drum set. And, you know, like just any curious, you know, young mind, you know, like a lot of people, they'll see a drum set and they go sit on it and try a few things on it.
Yeah.
So I did the same.
I have zero rhythm.
You see, yeah, like everyone else, you know, because it's a skill you learn, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, so I sat there, and before I even did anything, the drummer at the time came to me so loud, and I was just like, "Yo, you know, you'll never be able to play this instrument as good as I play it." And I was like,
"Yeah,
what?"
Challenge accepted.
I was so hurt, and I was just like, "You, I'll show you." You know? So I started practicing. So I used to go to church like maybe even like 5 times a week to just,
and
you know,
not for religious reasons, for music.
No. Yeah, for music. Because I need to prove myself to this guy. How can he tell me that, you know? Anyway, by a miracle, miraculously, like I grew so fast. I became a drummer. I became the main drummer in church. Better than the guy who told me that I couldn't play. And I was just like, yeah.
Hey,
so when I realized that, actually, I should say maybe my introduction to music has been in 3 parts. Because...
okay, go on.
Yeah. Because now when I realized that, you know, I had accomplished this great goal of mine, which was to, you know, show this guy that I can play. My uncle gifted me a guitar, very old guitar. Yeah, that was basically, now I sit down and I think about it and I just like, it was very unplayable.
But you made it work.
Exactly. I made it work at the time and I fell in love. I fell in love with the strings and that's when now properly my life changed, when I started playing the guitar. Wow. So that is how I got into all this.
Wow. Yes. Okay. So... give us a timeline. How many years have you been playing the guitar for? You don't have to disclose your age, but we'll make the calculations.
No, me, I'm happy telling everyone that I'm not an old guy. Yeah, but I started playing guitar. I think the first time I touched a guitar was back in 2015. That's the first time you know, like six years ago.
Six, seven, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Not that long, you know.
Actually, not that long. 7 years. That's a whole class two students.
No, think about it, you know. Think about, like, majority of the guys who are playing instruments right now are people who've been doing it from when they were babies, you know.
Born, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like I came a bit late, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, somehow it seems like it was the right time.
It definitely was, because look at you now. Definitely was the right time. Yes. That's another thing that really blew my mind, is like when you told me how you only started music, playing the guitar, like a few years ago, and I was like, what do you mean? I feel like in my head, I've always known Matthew as a musician. And I don't even know how long I've known you for.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I've always assumed you've been in music. I've always associate you with the other musicians that I know, or just music in general. And then, so that's really impressive. And yes, you definitely did get into music at the right time. So my question is, why specifically the guitar? Okay, first of all, tell us how many instruments you can play. You said the drums and the guitar. What other instruments can you play?
Yeah, so the instruments that I can play, and the instruments that I play around with.
Okay.
So the instruments that I can play is, of course, guitar. Mainly the lead electric guitar, because I'm very interested in sound and dynamics and all those things. All the way down to the bass guitar. Then the drums, I was originally actually started working as a drummer commercially.
Wow.
Commercially, yes.
Wow.
I've graced some of these big stages as a drummer before I even touched the guitar. So that's where actually my journey began. So from drums now, everything else, I play out of curiosity, you know, because, I believe I was blessed with a ear. So I can touch a few things on the piano. I can touch a few things, like, you know, just play around with things. Yeah.
Okay. Do you mind explaining to us, like, your journey of, like, from drums and getting into, like, the proper music scene? Like, I know you, so you said that you used to play commercially. What did that look like? Was it for hotel bands, live bands, or for a musical group?
So when I started out as a drummer, of course, I started in church, and church really, 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 really engaged me at the time. Then I remember the first, I can never forget, my first ever commercial gig, of course I didn't get paid, was there's an institution called Sauti Academy. I don't know if it's still there.
Never heard of them.
Yeah. Sauti Academy is responsible for a lot of the names that we are shouting out here, you know, from Heart the Band, South Soul, Ben Soul, as in, you name it. You know, that's actually how my network also grew, from Saudi Academy.
Yeah, from the school.
So I was randomly called by someone who I had, at the time, I had started a liking for. And she was like, you know, like, we have this thing and our drummer has bailed. And, you know, I saw you play drums and whatnot. I was like, of course, you know, whatever you need, I got you, you know. So I started playing.
Like, I'll be the one. I'll be your Superman.
Say less. You know, so, she called. Of course, because I was trying to impress her, I went. I didn't care how much guys were being paid. Guys weren't being paid at the time. But so that kind of evolved to me now playing for everyone else in her class. And so then I ended up now making relationships with now people in her class. And I remember shortly afterwards, now after they graduated, I started playing for, I don't know if you know, Jambi Koikai.
I've heard of her.
Exactly. So it was strictly reggae. So I was a reggae drummer for a very, very long time. Worked with Jamaicans and whatnot.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So at the same time, I started also playing regular gigs with a lot of other musicians that I was meeting at the time. All this is primarily just drums. So like all the clubs and bars and whatever, you name it, you know, we used to do it. So you'd play like maybe for four 4 or 5 hours and make very little money. But I was very, very happy, you know, at the time.
As long as you're playing and impressing this girl, you're fine.
Yeah, because actually we used to work together. So it kind of just made sense at the time. And then now, when I started now, so in the same process as I was gigging as a drummer, I started playing guitar. And then, because I was also around a lot of singer-songwriters, there was a very little of me jamming with them, you know, like playing with them, playing along and whatnot. So I'd get so curious because also there were so many guitarists or like so many people who could play guitar at the time around me.
Man, I feel like that's a Kenyan thing, especially in Nairobi. The amount of guys you see walking around with guitars.
Exactly. It's a culture. It's a beautiful culture. That actually pushed me to now be very, very curious about the instrument. And that's when now I started slowly now learning. Like my first gigs, my first commercial gigs as a guitarist, I was really, really bad. I was terrible. Mm-hmm. Even when I joined even had the band, like it had to take a kind of special grace and patience with them to work with me. Because you see now I had joined a moving unit, you know? Mm. And there was really no place for me. So I had to figure out a place for me, you know, and whatnot. So also like now, slowly by slowly, you know, you play one gig, someone spots you here, they call you, do this. I have a birthday, you know, could you come, you know, play at a house? Yeah. You know, I'm getting married, blah, blah, blah. And then the studio sessions began, you know. And
your network just continued growing.
Yeah, I'm very rich in network. I can confidently say that. Yeah, so that's how I am where I am right now. Yeah, it was like it's a ripple effect of one thing leading to the other, one thing leading to the other. Yeah.
So you've told me about your journey and how you got into music. So my other question is, why music? Why?
Why not music? Anyway,
okay, sorry. Mr. Wiseman, after saying I am today, why not music? Wow.
Well, I think my recollection of my, you know, my childhood, I remember not knowing throughout. I never knew what I wanted to do with my life. You know, the way it's easy to ask a kid right now, what do you want to do? And that didn't give you a whole list, you know.
List of things.
But I was the type of, you know, I was the type of kid, depending on who you are and who's asking, I'd give you that. So if I know that, you know, you're into engineering and whatnot, I'll tell you, I want to be an engineer. Yeah, you know, if you're a teacher, I'd tell you, me, I just want to teach, you know. But in the real sense,
you've been a politician since you're a child. You just want to please people. Sana.
I'm a people pleaser for sure. You know, but in the real sense, the thing that I really wanted to be was like a dinosaur or something. Like
something,
you know,
random.
Just,
you know,
something.
Being a child.
Yeah, you know, like I just wanted something random, something out of this world. You know, so I grew up knowing I probably didn't have a place in a professional world outside school. And when I started interacting with people around music, and especially people who are making music, and seeing the impact that it had, like to a lot, first of all, even as a recipient, you know, of good music, you know, I realized, like, you know, like, I want to heal, you know, and not in ways that maybe a doctor can, you know, not in ways that, you know, a preacher can, not in ways, you know, drugs can, you know, but in ways that I can't explain and you can't explain, you know. So I'd probably...
You're speaking, like, you're actually... Go on. Yeah, I'm
enjoying this. Probably... Yeah, so I'd probably play my guitar. And I play 2 chords or even 2 notes. But you'd go like, but you don't know what you felt.
Nope.
You know? You know?
Okay.
Exactly. Because I think liberation is the freedom of feeling. You know, like you have to feel, you know? And for me to have the opportunity to make you feel something, my goodness, that's such an honor. And that's why I do music. And that's why I play music.
I love that.
Because I want to make you feel things.
I love that. Like, it's such an honor for you to help people feel things. And I like that how you said that when you play two chords, you're just like, because it's so true. Like, when I listen, like, I think when I listen to the first song, I think the first song where I realized, oh my gosh, Matthew is a musician, was in the album that Heart the Band released last year. What is it called? Is it Saturday, Monday? I should know the name of these albums. Gosh, this is embarrassing.
Yeah, Simple Man.
Yeah, Simple Man. Oh my gosh, Simple Man. And there's a song you did. Yeah. I still don't remember the name of the song. But is I loved...
Is it Wait For You?
Yes. And I loved... I think it's Wait. Actually, let me just check right now before I start speaking heresy. So yeah, from the album Simple Man, there's a song that you did with them. Yes, I'm guessing it is Wait For You. Yeah, it is Wait For You. And I just loved how clean your guitar was. Like, it was so simple, but it was so beautiful. Like, I remember listening to it and I'm just like, and yeah, I'm here. I can feel every single thing in this song. And it's not like a tea feeling, like I want to cry, but I'm just like, wow, this is so beautiful. And I get that. Like, I so understand how you're saying, like, you want to play music and make people feel something. Because me, I'm the type of person, I don't listen to music just for the sake of listening. I don't listen to music quality entertainment. I listen to try and find, like, to try and feel what the artist was feeling when they were making the music, or to try and know what the artist was thinking. And also just, like, the messages that are inside the music. And then also, like, the effort, the creative effort put into that music. And I can safely say that when you play music, I know I'm able to feel it.
That's such an honor, such a blessing to hear that it's actually happening.
It is,
Because actually, if I'm to add, you know, like, it's I think human beings generally run away from certain feelings, you know. Like, you know, like, apart from the few moments that you actually intentionally want to feel sad, a lot of people sometimes run away from that. And music takes you there, whether you want to or not, you know. And that's the beginning of healing, you know. Or that's the beginning of, like, manifestation of love, you know. You know, truth is in letting go and being, you know. Because, I mean, you can't also choose, you know, how you feel, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but you can be triggered,
you know? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So call me Mr. Guns, because I keep pulling
What's wrong with you? Mr. Guns, because you hold the trigger. Okay. Oh, man. But okay, but, like, on a more serious note, like, oh, gosh, this thought was just in my mind, but I feel like, I think it's just flown away. But in, oh man, my brain is letting me down. Okay, let me just try and remember.
Okay.
Matthew, it's gone. It's completely gone.
Was it in the same line of what you were talking about?
Yeah, it was in the same. Oh yeah, music and healing. Thank you. Finally, I found out. Now, so this is me speaking from personal experience and you talking about how music is a healing thing. And for me personally, the best ways that I found that I'm able to, as you said, feel those feelings that I don't want to feel, or feel a feeling that, like, oh yeah, kumbe, I had that feeling inside me, but I didn't know, but this has triggered it. And I found that it always came out from anything creative, whether it was music, art, poetry, and even, like, the lyrics of songs. And this reminds me of another conversation we had about the album Simple Man, and you were telling... Well, first, when we were talking about Simple Man, we were talking about the other album by Heart the Band. What's it called?
Made in the Streets.
Made in the Streets, yes. And I was telling you how that song has bang... I mean, that album has bangers after bangers, but people just don't know about it.
Yeah.
And I was telling you how the song Ukimwona, if any guy or girl plays that song, just know they are sprung, because, gosh... It's such a lovey-dovey love song, and it's one of those things where you're just helpless about love. So to circle back to what I was saying about healing, so for me personally, I feel like music has been one of those things that has helped me express those things that I don't know how to express, express those things that in church I wouldn't be able to express, in prayer I'm not able to express, in, you know, in just other different spaces. So would you mind expounding more on, like, how besides triggering emotions in people, how music can be like a healing thing?
I think first and the very, very obvious, I feel like healing, especially like personally, I think I feel very encouraged when, you know, I hear someone else has gone through what I've gone through or is going through what I'm going through. And in music, I think, you know, most of the things we write and most of the things we play are based on things that we've gone through and we are going through, you know, because we're experiencing life like everyone else, you know, we're falling in love, we're being heartbroken, you know, we're being disappointed. You know, we still have, you know, a pandemic that we're dealing with and whatnot. So music as a healing tool, you know, as a listener, you sit down and you'll be like, yo, yeah, imagine I love this chick like the way this person is saying it.
You know?
Or like, yo, actually, I'm feeling very hurt about this guy. But at the end of it, he's saying he's okay now. So meaning maybe even I will be okay, you know? Because this guy, you know? Because you see now the thing is that musicians and artists, you know, like whatever form of art is bearing ourselves naked to everyone else. And as human beings, I think it's something that we need to embrace, you know, just being very, very open and real with each other. So that's why, like, you know, transcends to our lyrics, you know, to the kind of, you know, beats that are made, to the kind of instrumentation, to the kind of arrangement, poetry, you know. So someone will read them just like, yo, you know, you know, you were sick for these years and God came through for you. You know, ata mimi, you know, I'll get out of this. You know, I'll get out of this situation. So, so like that in itself, music has also been known to be very therapeutical. Everyone uses music for therapy, whether you know it or not. You know, sometimes something as simple as, you know, people who can't clean without listening to music, that's therapy, you know. You know, and in using music in your day-to-day lives, it kind of takes you away from your problems, you know, because you see now,
that is
music,
true.
Music is something that creates an entire, like, you know, apart from a movie, you know, like you'll watch down, you sit and you'll watch a movie. But if I was to sing a song, you know, to you, that kind of speaks to your situation. You put yourself in that world, you know, or a situation that you want to be in, you know. So like maybe you've never experienced love, you know, but this love song, you know, you close your eyes and you actually
and
take
you can
yourself.
Picture it.
My goodness, you're there, you know. it's the only time you actually get to actually live your dream with plus the feeling that you want to feel. So, you know, if you want to be stupid in love, you know, with zero consequences. I'm talking about love a lot. Anyway. You know, if you want to be stupid in love with zero consequences and whatnot and dream of like that house with that family or like that big career, you know, money and stuff like that, music takes you there, you know? Music gives you a break from the world. So,
which I find to be really interesting. So, yes, it does open you up into like your dream. It helps you. I feel like it also helps you like, not really fantasize, but more like imagine more, and it helps you live, as you said, live out your dreams and imagine more and everything. So now I want to ask this question. I don't know how you're going to feel about it, but because you're saying you're talking about love a lot, do you mind telling us why?
I've been privileged enough to experience love from a lot of things and a lot of people and a lot of phases in my life that have ended up really, really being huge lessons and have, you know, I can't ignore it because I am here because of love, you know, whatever capacity it is, you know, and I can tell you for a fact, like right now I'm experiencing epitome of love from... from everyone that I interact with, and not just romantically, you know.
It's like every aspect of love.
Exactly. That's why, like, and you know, love makes the world go round. Like, literally, you know, it's the one thing that makes being on this earth worthwhile. You know, So, like, I get very sad when I start seeing, you know, people take that for granted. Because, trust me, there's no world without love, you know? And that's why I'm so passionate about it. And a lot of the music that I'm associated with just speaks about love, you know?
It's true.
You know, like, probably, like, almost 90%, like, we have to, you know, mention, you know, the fact that we, you know, love someone or, you know, been in love, we've been hurt by love. You know, family love, you know, and
friendship,
whatnot.
Love as well.
Yeah, so it's quite an important thing in my life.
Important
right
thing.
Now.
We love
it's
that.
It's important.
That's good. I like that. Uh-huh. Thank you so
have
much.
Have I answered the way you wanted me to answer it?
Yes, actually, you have surpassed my expectations, which is very good.
I was avoiding.
No, don't worry. There's some things that don't need to be on the record.
Okay.
Now, my other question is, okay, you've already told us how you've gotten into, like, how you've grown your networks and been able to, like, interact with one of the best musicians that we have in Kenya today. Now, me, myself, as a Heart the Band fan, please tell me how you ended up being with Heart the Band. For me personally, I don't care about all the other listeners.
Yeah. So let me share with you, Shera, how I found myself with, to me, probably the best, you know, band in the world.
I second that.
Yeah. So I was friends with Ben Soul before I met Kina, Dex, and Shira, and Ken.
Yeah.
So we're very good friends with Ben. So that's a whole other story for a whole other day.
I have a question. Also, is it like a dreadlock thing? Do you know what I'm called a dreadlocks?
We just met like this, you know?
Ah, okay.
So it's also
it's
like
a Kenyan musician.
Yeah, no, it's like there was... I mean, God has been preparing all of us to do this, and you can clearly see it.
That's true.
You know, it's not by chance, you know? It's not by chance that we look a certain way. Or...
It's true, though. It's true. You're right.
You know, literally, we were born to do this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ben and I had been, like, we've been friends way longer before I met Kina Dex. And he literally plugged me, you know, because he was playing with the band at the time. He was their bassist at the time, and they needed a guitarist. And I had kind of tried to flex in a few gigs here and there to kind of just, you know... prove to myself that I can still do this. So yeah, so I was invited for a rehearsal, and yes, of course, I went in confidence, you know, knowing that I would deliver
Uligiaminia.
That one for, like, you know I cannot do it, but I will do it afraid, you know.
Anyway,
you know, it's just like, yeah, like I might sound like, you know, poo-poo, you know, but but I'm gonna push, you know. So I had just gotten I just bought my first pedal, my guitar pedal, and I also had like my first guitar as well. So I went to a rehearsal. Think about this: these guys had been gigging for years before I met them. So I met them already practiced and rehearsed. So it's like
already they know exactly how to
exactly. So you need to catch up. You know, and the way this industry works, it's may find it a very, very fair, whatever. If he can do the job, he'll get the job, you know.
He'll do it, yeah.
If he can't, sorry, you know, we'll look for someone else, you know. But they extended so much grace and patience with me, you know, that kind of gave me, like, the space to grow with them as well. So even like just minus that, that's the first time I think when I joined them, that's the first time I started experiencing at the, you know, performing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because me, I was just like, yo, me, I'm just here to play my guitar and leave. But then I'm meeting these guys with some energy, like that's out of this world. And it's so infectious.
That stage energy.
You know, like, like it's damn infectious that you cannot just stand and play your guitar. You have to perform. You know, so over the years, then I have been morphing into a performer, you know, with them. And that's how, like, you know, I think I don't know. And I think it's a beautiful space to be in, especially as creatives, where you're let, like, yeah. you've given the space to grow and make mistakes. Mm. You know, because of course, our first gigs, I was not sounding the way I sound right now. You know, it was like I was always so nervous. Like I was like half.
Boy, you nervous?
What? Hey man, like it was crazy. You know, and the first few gigs with Had the Band, I remember they didn't go so well with me. A lot of unfortunate things used to happen on stage. There's a gig, my string cut, so and it was just the beginning of the set, so I have to play with one less string. It was a lot of things blowing up on stage. I'm just like, okay,
blowing up,
yeah, okay, not like dramatically. It wasn't as dramatic as I'm trying to make it seem. So it's ending up growing pole, then into studio sessions, and then I just fell in love with also just making music. So that's in that period is when I realized, oh snap, I can actually, you know, rather than just play a few guitar lines on here and there, I can actually make music.
Yeah.
You know, because I hear a lot of things in this brain of mine. There's a lot going on, you know. So
So now my next question is, so in terms of music, when did you start composing your own songs? And yeah, what was the first song that you've ever released for the public to see?
I think composing song begins from the moment you touch an instrument, you know. It's just you're just not aware that you're composing, you know. Just because it's not recorded doesn't mean that it's not composed, you know. So for me, I started composing from day one, you know. But also the method I used to learn guitar was very interesting. Because I never had...
Yeah, what was that method?
I never had a teacher or anything, so I'm self-taught. But I used to tell myself I have to be encouraged to play this instrument. Mm. So what will encourage me to play this instrument? And I was like, light bulb, boom. What if I play songs that I actually really like? You know, let me learn songs that I actually really, really like. And I remember at the time... the first song I ever tried learning was All of Me, John Legend. I can never forget, you know.
That was like back in 2014, 2015, I'm guessing. Yes. 16 now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the first song I ever tried learning. And in the process of learning that song, I ended up learning, you know, 6-7 chords, you know. Then I started, you know, rearranging them. So rather than playing like, you know, an E minor to the C, I try, maybe let me start with the C to the E minor, you know. So I started composing from then. And then what I can say, like the first piece of my composition that I ever put out was, I think, in 2017. Very few people know about, even Kobe doesn't know about this.
I don't know about it.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a song that I'm really, really proud of. It's called Gloomy Morning. I did it with Bogwa Bogwa Bogwa. I don't know if you know Bogwa Bogwa Bogwa.
Nope.
Yeah.
There's someone called Bogwa Bogwa Bogwa.
Yeah, M cubed, M3. He's a dope producer.
Wow.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. So I did it with him and Emma Cheruto at the time. So it's such a lovely, lovely song. That's the first song I ever recorded and featured in. Yeah. So then after that, there's not been a lot of activity, but if in terms of like songs I'm featured in, but between then and now, like I've been able to, you know, co-compose a lot of songs with a lot of people up until now, last year, when now I did Wait For You with Had the Band. And then currently I'm working on probably the hottest album that will be in the market for a very, very long time, because I will share with you Kando.
Kando, nice. Thank you. I was just about to ask. I'm excited.
Yeah, so like I think I am at I'm at the peak when it comes to composing in my career right now, you know, because now I'm working on my own like material and whatnot.
Okay, I'm excited. Okay.
And also like just like I'm getting to collaborate a lot with a lot of people that I've been meeting, you know, especially this last year or so has just been, I think, a time for God to introduce me to a lot of people, you know, who will eventually, you know, be important in this journey of mine, you know, from photographers, videographers, designers, incredible musicians, incredible producers like Kobe, instrumentalists who are out of this world, vocalists who, it's like we're in session with them and I'm just like, yo, this can't be happening. Are you actually
password? Yeah, I know. you know.
So yes, it's not normal. Like, and I can't take it for granted, you know, that I'm getting to a point where now I can play a few cards and have, you know, have the band featuring a song, you know, or I can play a few cards, you know, can play a few cards and, you know, Kobe's very happy to host me in his house to, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
To do a few things with music. So,
Wow. So now, you just explained how you have such a good community around you of people that will not only help you, like, with your music career, but also, like, your creative side and building and, you know, just becoming more of yourself. And I'm assuming, well, from what I have seen, becoming the best version of, like, that self.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that it's so beautiful to see that, because one of the core aspects or philosophies of this podcast is Ubuntu. And Ubuntu is a concept. I feel like I say this in every single episode, but it's the concept of I am because you are a community. We're working together. I'm because a person is a person through people. And as you said before, like, if it wasn't for all those networks and all those opportunities that those networks created, you wouldn't be here today. And it's such a beautiful thing to see that. Sio wewe peke yako umejileta hapa, but like, it's not just you and your guitar that brought you here. It was you, your guitar, people like Ben Soul, people like Heart of the Band, Akina Dex, and all those people. You interacting with what was that school you said? The musical school you said?
Sauti Academy. Yeah.
Academy. So it's so beautiful. I think that's such a beautiful thing where, yeah, you've just had people around you and they've, and as you said before, it's not coincidental. It's all God ordained. As into the fact that you, Akina Dex, Ben Soul, you, what I'm gonna dreadlocks. Even to the finest detail. So I think that's really, really cool. Now, one of my final questions, it's not the final one, but it's one of the last ones, is what is music like in the Kenyan context right now? You've already mentioned a few names here and there, but like, what do you feel like the music in the Kenyan context is like right now? Especially in regards to you as a musician. Okay.
I can tell you it's the best that it's been. Like, this is the best so far. And I would say it majorly because I feel like now musicians, artists and whatnot are no longer waiting on, you know, certain bodies or like whatever to come through for us, you know. Like very few musicians are actually spending so much time complaining about, you know, the government and whatever. Everyone is just trying to figure out how they can do this thing, you know,
for them. Just navigating those systems. I love that.
Exactly,
yes.
You know, and it's so beautiful with especially like now, because the thing is, like, for me, I view it as I'm making music, I'm selling music, not to Kenya, but to the world, you know. So if systems are not really, really working for me here, you know, maybe try and figure out what's working for other people and try and, you
elsewhere,
know, copy-paste, you know, or like get some level of influence from whatever is going. But generally right now, I can tell you for a fact that we will start seeing, you know, billionaires as musicians, artists and whatnot.
Definitely.
With the way things are going. And, you know, it's just a matter of now artists now just realizing that we're in a very golden era of, like, you know, you know, because you cannot, you cannot wait, you know. So even I was even telling you with your podcast, like, you just need to start, you need to do it.
It's true.
You know, you just need to do it, you know, because I feel like we have learned a lot you know, and a lot of the people I've been interacting with are very key and big on growing the industry, right? And that's why I have so much support from a lot of artists and a lot of musicians to do this project, because we've realized that we are stronger together, you know, like, you know, because even if you look like, if you look at like the biggest records, you know, in the world from back in the day, it's like a bunch of people who came together and wrote and like composed, produced. Someone, you know, like someone is good in marketing, like, you know, came and, you know, gave in that capacity and whatnot. So I feel like right now, a lot of artists are waking up to that fact that, you know, it's no longer a competition between you and I. It's a competition between us and poverty, you know.
You know, it's true, us and poverty. Yeah. And also just making it, you know, like you just want to be that artist.
Exactly,
yeah,
you know, exactly. Because it's very rare that you'd find conversations with art, especially in Kenya, where you hear an artist saying like, oh, I'm better than so-and-so, I deserve that opportunity more than this person, you know? You know? At least the people I've interacted with, you know? It's those ones for like, yo, these guys have gone on tour, you know? Okay, how did they do it? And like, oh, okay, let's...
How can I also
let's talk to these guys. Or like, oh, this guy was able to get that person on this project. How did they do it? Then you talk, it's just like, oh, then you sit down and you realize, yo, you know, like... We grow together. We are bigger together.
Yes, and you learn from one another.
Exactly.
It's so true.
Exactly.
And again, I love that so much, because I feel like right now, especially like with social media, there's this aspect of like wanting to compete constantly. Like, I want to be better than the next person. I want to do this before this person does it. Before they go viral, I want to go viral.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes that can be such a toxic way of living, because then you completely block out everyone else. And when you block out everyone else, you stop seeing the goodness and the good things that are happening to them. Because when anything good happens to someone else before it happens to you, it's like, why is it happening to them? Why is it not happening to me? And then you end up being really malicious.
Right.
So yeah, that is so beautiful. And I'm so glad that you found a community, again, you found a community around you where you guys can work together. Like, and be like, you know what? We are better together, and let's just do this thing.
Right.
So that's really, really nice.
Right.
I'm glad.
Right.
Okay. Now, my last question, my very, 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 very last question.
All right, we are here.
What are your goals? Where do you see, actually, I don't want to ask you where do you see yourself in the next few years, but like, what is your goal as of now? Because you said you live in today, so what is your goal as of now?
I have very tangible and intangible goals as of now. I think, okay, generally, I usually just have one goal in life. And that's is to positively impact everyone that I get to interact with. So to impact people's lives, you know, positively, even if it's a 5-minute conversation, whether it's through my music or just whatever interaction that, you know, because we are on earth to be stewards and to be, you know, to be of service, you know, to others. And the fact that I know that my life is a privilege, like that one I know.
Wow.
And I know some of the things that I enjoy in my life, I would also want people to enjoy, you know. You know, so if I'm in a position to also make you dream a bit farther than you've ever dreamt before, I'd be good. Yeah. But eventually I'd like to die empty. Yeah. So
like you've exhausted each and every single aspect of yourself.
Completely.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. I like, I want to die when I have nothing else to offer this world, you know?
Yeah, wow.
You know, so, and I want to, you know, also I want to be a father, I want to be a husband, and all those things. That's how I want my life to end.
Wow. Well, may I pray that that happens to you. I am really excited to see how you're going to empty all your goodness to the rest of the world, and all your creativity, and also just the different ways in which you're going to grow and glow.
Oh, yeah.
I am excited to see it.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to add that I have not asked?
No, you've really covered bees.
Okay. I'm glad. Mm-hmm. I feel like I haven't, but I think it's...
Yeah. You really, really have. I feel like, you know, what else? You know?
Yeah.
Like, people know me too much now.
Kobe knows you too much. Like,
he now was Kobe also, Kobe can write a book about me. I've told him so much.
Let me tell you, this podcast will be, this episode or and whatever other future episodes we do will be a very, very of big importance for you if you ever want to write about yourself or if someone wants to write about you.
Oh, wow. 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 Thank you for actually, you know, see, I feel like it was an act of faith. You really didn't know what you were getting into.
That brings us to the end of our second episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you liked what you listened to, please do not hesitate to leave a review. If you didn't like what you listened to, your review is also welcome. If you have any questions or queries or want to know more about the podcast, contact us on email via host@ubunifupodcast.co.ke. That is host@ubunifupodcast.co.ke. Take care of yourselves, and I hope you learned something new. Bye!